Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 122. Is it okay to mix business with politics? All right, here we go.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, a free market squad? It's your boy, Nathan Fraser, high priest of propaganda. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your day to spend some time with me. Today, I'm going to be doing an episode of the podcast, and we're going to be talking about whether or not it's okay to mix business with politics. First of all, welcome to the show. And second of all, this is a question that I get asked pretty frequently, and it's probably because I mix business and politics all the time. A lot of my marketing involves my political points of view. And so a lot of marketers ask me how I get away with involving so much of my own personal politics into my marketing and whether or not they should go out on a limb and include it in their marketing as well. And so I'm going to answer the question in this week's podcast. And you know, it might not be the answer that most people want to hear. So is it okay to mix business with politics? Well, first of all, it depends. It depends on what it is that you're selling, who your target market is, and whether or not politics is something that they even care about, or whether or not you know what their politics are and whether or not those politics align with your politics. So I'm going to say this. Let's say you sell investing. I actually just did an interview with Joe Schrieffer, who is the head copywriter for Agora Financial. And one of the things that me and him have talked about in the past was the fact that they do involve politics in some of their marketing, because they sell investing. They sell financial investing packages, and they know that their target market is usually older, more conservative people who have built a safety net of their own money, and they're looking for somewhere to invest it. And since they're semi-successful in the world, they tend to lean a little bit more conservative, especially when it comes to money. And so they know that it's okay to include those messages in their investing promotions. One of the most successful promotions that's ran in the last few years in this particular niche was an advertisement called, or it was like a video sales letter called The End of America. And the whole thing, it was like an hour-long promotion about how the world is coming to an end, the financial crisis, the fake fiat currency is going to collapse, and you need to put your money in gold and silver. And the whole thing was like, it read like an Alex Jones show. It was politics from beginning to end, and it was to sell an investing package. And it worked like gangbusters, because the target market was perfectly in line with the political message. So if you're selling something that has, an investment package or a financial package, and you know that your target market leans conservative, yes, you can get away with mixing a little bit of conservative politics in with your marketing. Now, on the other side, Nike was criticized and praised a little bit of both recently for having their Colin Kaepernick advertisement, where it was like they had Colin Kaepernick talking about how it was controversial because it involved the kneeling during the NFL fiasco, and it was about standing up for your rights and all of that stuff. And conservatives got mad about it. Liberals praised it. And here's the deal. The majority, it worked for Nike. In my opinion, it worked for Nike. It didn't have a huge backlash because the majority of Nike's buyers tend to lean a little bit to the left. They tend to be basketball players and football players and people that tend to lean a little bit to the left. So it worked out. It was good. But there is people that would say no to this. And actually, one time Michael Jordan was asked why he doesn't particularly involve politics in the marketing of his Nikes, his Air Jordans. And it was because he said straight up, look, Republicans buy my shoes too. So I'm not going to turn away a large percentage of the market just to appeal to one side of the market when I can sell to both sides of the market. So I think Michael Jordan actually had it correct, especially in that case where you're not selling exclusively to one political ideology. So in that case, I would say it makes sense not to involve politics in your advertising whatsoever. So Nike got away with it with the Colin Kaepernick thing, but I think that Michael Jordan probably he had his finger on the pulse of the market more than Nike did with the Colin Kaepernick example. I might be wrong, but that's just how I feel. Now, here's the thing that can happen, and this is what you got to look out for. And luckily, Nike didn't have this backlash, but a lot of companies have had this backlash lately, and it can spell disaster if you get it wrong, which is trying to apply a political agenda or a political point of view to your marketing that doesn't align with the political beliefs of your target market. Now, three examples of this that have made major headlines over the last few years. Number one, Gamergate. Number two, Comicsgate. And number three, Animegate. And right now, we're seeing the same thing with Captain Marvel using heavy feminist marketing and really turning off a large segment of their audience. These particular examples are where they've started implementing hardcore leftist political ideology in their marketing campaigns. And the people that are buying these things, the people that buy comic books, the people that buy video games, the people that buy anime, the people that buy superhero movies, they don't feel the same way. They don't care about hardcore leftist propaganda. They don't care about feminist propaganda. They don't care about identity politics. And so injecting identity politics and injecting feminism into the marketing for comic books, into the marketing for video games, into the marketing for anime, it doesn't resonate well with the audience. So, and we're seeing comic book companies are going under. Comic book sales are at an all-time low right now. Comic book stores are closing left and right. Video game companies are reporting record low sales, especially when they're doing. I mean, there's a whole tag, or there's a whole like meme called "Get Woke, Go Broke," where people are injecting politics that don't match with their target market, and they're losing money for it. So, if you try to inject politics into your marketing that doesn't coincide with the politics of your target market, you're going to have bad results. So, here's the way that I do it, because I do inject a lot of politics. If you follow my Facebook posts, if you follow my emails, you know that, or if you listen to the podcast, you know that I inject a lot of my political beliefs into my podcast, into my Facebook posts, into my emails. And I do it for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm filtering out the people that I don't want to do business with. I don't express all of my politics. Some of my politics are way more radical than what I know my market is comfortable with. So I don't even talk about those ones. But there are a couple issues of my political beliefs that I'm absolutely willing to talk about because I know they coincide with what the things that my target market feel, and because I know that they'll push away people that I don't want to do business with. So what I mean by that is I use my politics and my marketing to filter out people I don't want to do business with. And number one, the first set of people are people who see profit as a bad thing, people that see profit as exploitation, people that see making a lot of money as something that's bad, that the only way to get rich is to exploit the poor. People that see the world like that, people that see the world as there's only so much pie to go around, people that see the world that way and that see profit as a bad thing, I don't want to do business with them. I don't want to do marketing for them. I don't want to write sales pages for them because they have subconscious things in their mind that are going to prevent them from making the amount of profits that I want to make for them. They're going to have subconscious roadblocks that are going to prevent me from being able to do the maximum that I can do for them. So I just don't even want to work with people. If people are going to have negative feelings about profit, negative feelings about money, I don't want to market for those people because I don't want to have their subconscious beliefs preventing me from doing the best that I can do. So I constantly talk shit about socialists. I constantly talk shit about people that are anti-capitalists. I talk shit about people that have leftist economic ideals. Even though I actually lean left on a lot of other social issues, I will deliberately attack leftists on economic issues because I don't want business owners who have leftist economic issues as hiring me as a client, as a service provider. I don't want to do business with them. So I deliberately include that in my marketing to filter those people out so that I don't have to deal with it. I've written copy and I've written sales pages and I've built websites for people that leaned to the left and they put up all kinds of roadblocks for me. It was a pain in the ass working for them and I don't want to go through it again. So I deliberately include that divisionary stuff in my marketing to make sure that I don't attract those type of people. So to make sure that I don't end up working for those type of people. The next group of people that I deliberately attack in my marketing is people that have victim mentality, identity politics, grievance mentality, people that go out of their way to look for oppression points to win the oppression Olympics. I attack that mentality in my marketing because I don't want to work with people who see themselves as victims. People who see themselves as victims are constantly looking for reasons why they're going to fail before they even start. They're constantly looking for people to blame on the outside, pointing the finger at everybody else. It's everybody else's fault that I'm poor. It's everybody else's fault that my business can't get off of the ground. It's everybody else's. It's systemic oppression. That's the reason that I can't get ahead in the world. Anybody who thinks like that, I don't want that person within fucking 100 feet of me, because people like that, they're looking for justifications for their failure and they're going to look for reasons to fail. They're going to look for excuses to fail so that they can validate their own ideal of being a victim. They're looking for reasons to fail so that they can validate their preconceived notion that they're a victim. And I do not want to work with people who are looking for reasons to fail. So anybody with a victim mentality, anybody who says, oh, the system's set up against me, anybody who says, oh, a systemic oppression or a historical oppression, anybody who falls into that mindset, patriarchy, systemic racism, anything who capitalism is oppressive, anybody who thinks like that, I don't want to do business with them. So I deliberately include jabs at people like that in my marketing to make sure that if someone feels that way, they get disgusted by me. They unfollow me on Facebook. They unsubscribe from my email list. So I don't ever run the risk of working with people like that. And it's because I can't help them. I don't want to take on someone who I have to help them get over these mental hurdles before I can actually start doing my job for them. I want to work with people who have already made it past those mental hurdles, who are already primed to actually start making money in their business or to start making more money in their business. I don't want to have to set people up and get them over those roadblocks before I can actually start doing business with them. I want to hit the ground running with people that I take on as clients. So I deliberately include stuff that's going to filter out anybody who's going to have those roadblocks, who's going to have those speed bumps that I just don't want to work with. And maybe that's being selfish. Maybe that's being, maybe there's a bit of discrimination there. I don't really care. People with those mindsets, I don't want to work with them. And I'm going to do everything I can to push those type of people away. And here's the truth of the matter. I used to suffer from both of those mindsets. I used to suffer from victim mentality. I grew up poor. I grew up thinking the rich are exploiting the poor. And the reason that we were poor, because I grew up on welfare. I grew up on food stamps, living on Section 8 and being homeless for like 3 years out of my childhood, 3.5 years. We spent living in a pickup truck and bouncing from hotel or from motel to motel, from campsite to campsite. I grew up hating the rich and hating capitalism and being a far leftist. And I grew up believing myself to be a victim. I thought that the whole system was set up to keep the rich rich and keep the poor poor. And I thought that there was a fixed pie. I thought that in order for one person to get rich, other people had to be poor. I totally believed all of that bullshit. And it wasn't until I stopped believing those self-limiting ideals. It wasn't until I got over believing that I was actually able to be successful in the world. It wasn't until I got over the victim mentality and the hating the rich. And it wasn't until I got over my mindsets about how evil money was and how money was the root of all evil and money doesn't bring you happiness, until I got all of that negative mindset about money and about being a victim. It wasn't until I got those mindsets cleared out of my thinking that I actually started making money, that I actually started being successful. So I want to work with people that are ready to be successful, that are already successful and ready to be more successful. I don't want to work with people where I'm going to have to fight and get them past the things that I had to get past. I want to work with people that are already past those things. So I deliberately go out of my way in my marketing to exclude those type of people from my messaging. So I push those people away because those people, they don't breed success, and you don't get success when you work with those type of people. So I eliminate those people from my marketing. I push them away in my marketing. And it's not just about my marketing. Yo, you want to get more sales from your website? A simple $4 investment can make that happen. Get my time-tested template formulated for sales pages, proven to turn more of your website visitors into paying customers. Discover how to write the perfect sales page, even if you're not a copywriter. Go to salespagebook.com and get your copy today. A higher converting sales page is only one click away. Go to salespagebook.com today. So here's the thing. I am very passionate about the way that I see things, the way that I'm very open on certain things, but there are certain things that I'm very steadfast in the way that I believe. And when it comes to economics, when it comes to victim mentality, when it comes to hating the rich, I'm very steadfast in the way that I believe because I've lived on both sides. I grew up believing one set of beliefs, and then I had to walk a mile in the shoes of the people who I hated and resented. And then I realized that I was an idiot for the first half of my life for believing the things that I believe. And the reason why I include some of these things, and maybe I do lose some money, maybe I do push some people away that maybe I could make money off of when I include these things in my marketing. But here's the deal. I have a platform. I have success. I have two businesses that make it to where I don't have to worry about losing my employment. I don't have to worry about the things that most people have to worry about when it comes to income. So I can get away with being a loudmouth. I can get away with shit posting. I can get away with including this stuff in my marketing because I'm not hurting for sales. I'm not hurting for clients. I have enough money. I have enough income where I'm comfortable. And so I can get away with including this stuff. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Can you get away with including it? Will it resonate? Will it filter out the wrong people and filter in the right people? And can you actually get away with it? And for me, all three of those are a yes, I can get away with it. But here's really what it comes down to. These ideals that I attack, they lead towards a society that falls into decay. And we can actually see that right now. Over the last couple of years with identity politics and victim politics being so prevalent, being so popular, we're starting to watch people on the left eat their own. Just today, I read an article where SJWs are now attacking Jim Carrey because Ace Ventura. Now, if you don't know much about Jim Carrey is a hardcore leftist. He's very anti-gun. Every time there's a gun shooting that happens, or a mass shooting that happens, he's riding the high horse about how we need to get rid of guns. Just two or three months ago, he came out and talked about how great socialism was and how we need to stop thinking of socialism as a bad word. And I think it was on the Bill Maher show where he came out in favor of socialism. And now he's being attacked by far leftists. He himself is a far leftist, and he's being attacked because Ace Ventura is transphobic, because there's that scene in Ace Ventura where he kisses or he finds out that the one of the girls that he was interested in was actually a guy. And he does the whole mockery of the crying game scene in Ace Ventura. And he's being attacked for being transphobic. So the leftist victim mentality, hating capitalism mentality that he's bought into wholeheartedly is now turning on him, and they're eating their own. Another example of this is Kevin Hart, the identity politics that would prop Kevin Hart up because he's a black man, attacked him last month because of jokes that he made on Twitter about not wanting his son to be gay. I think it was like 7 or 8 year old jokes that he made. They attacked him and they got him fired from hosting the Oscars. So you have this thing where you have one grievance group attacking another grievance group. You've got the gay community attacking the black community. Another example of this is Terry Crews. Terry Crews is a prominent black actor. I think he's the guy that does like the Old Spice commercials, but for a long time, going back like 7-8 years, Terry Crews has talked about how important it is to have fathers in the household, how important it is for children to grow up with a strong, positive father figure. And this is something that he's talked about for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, over the last couple of weeks, he's been getting attacked for it. He's been getting attacked by people that say, well, single mothers are just as good as fathers, or two lesbians can raise a child just as good as a mother and a father can. And I'm gonna have to say this. I agree with Terry Crews. I agree that there's a difference. There's positive masculine energy and there's positive feminine energy. And I think that it benefits children to grow up with a healthy dose of both, with both positive masculine energy and positive feminine energy. And I think that it's when children grow up with only one of them, or when they grow up absent one of them, I think that they're not getting the best set up for life. And statistics would weigh out in this favor. They say that that most people that end up going to prison come from fatherless homes. Most people that end up addicted to drugs come from fatherless homes. Most people that don't graduate from high school come from fatherless homes. So I think that there's evidence to back up what Terry Crews is saying. And I don't think that it's a bad thing to say that, hey, having a good, strong male father figure in a child's life is an important thing. But he's being attacked. And he's being attacked by the left. The left, who would usually prop him up because he's a black man, are attacking him because he's saying something that they don't like. And this is what happens when you base a society, base a movement, base a community off of victim mentality, is they start to eat their own. They start to attack each other. They start to say, oh, I'm a bigger victim than you, and therefore I get to tear you down. And it's what's happening. And I don't want to live in a society that functions that way. So that's a big part of why I included in my marketing. But I don't want to work with people who think that way. So that's another reason that I include these type of messages in my marketing. Now, back to the original question. Is it okay to include politics in your marketing? Is it okay to include political agendas in your marketing? Again, it depends. Let's take a look at feminine products. We're going to take a look at two different types of feminine products and two different types of markets that will buy feminine products. We're going to take a look first at blue hair dye. Say you sell blue hair dye. So your target market is the girls that have the mental illness haircut where they shave half of it and they have the swooping hair on the other side that is dyed blue or dyed purple. They're probably hardcore feminists. They're probably hardcore abortion advocates. They're probably the type of people that run around screaming about the patriarchy. So if you sell blue hair dye to the girls with the mental illness shaved side of the hair haircut, yeah, you can probably inject feminism in your marketing. You can probably inject girl power into your marketing because it's going to resonate with them. Now, if you sell normal blush and normal lipstick and normal color eyeliner to the average woman out there who's not obsessed with tearing down the patriarchy, who just wants to look attractive, who wants to look voluptuous, who wants to attract a male partner, then that target market isn't going to care about feminism. In fact, they probably don't like feminism. I think recently they said 7 out of 10 women in America don't identify with feminism and in fact don't like feminism. So If your target market is the average woman who's trying to attract a man, then you probably don't want to put feminism in your marketing. You probably want to avoid feminism in your marketing. So just because you're selling to females doesn't mean that you should inject feminist politics into your marketing. Are you selling to feminist females or non-feminist females? And then that should be the deciding factor on whether or not you inject feminist politics into your marketing. So knowing your market, knowing their values, knowing their villains, only then, if you know their values and you know their values include some sort of politics, if you know their villains and you know their villains include some sort of politics, then you might be able to get away with using it. Now, I want to go back to something that David Garfinkel constantly harps on me about. And this is, he says this about sales copy, but he also says this about marketing in general, which is, will it lead to the sale? Does it lead to the sale? Anytime you're reading through your sales copy, every single sentence, you should ask yourself, is this going to lead to the sale? If it does, then leave it in. If it doesn't, then leave it out. So when it comes to injecting politics into your marketing, stop and ask yourself, does this lead to the sale? If the answer is no, then you probably should leave it out. And I should probably take my own advice on that, but I don't. Do as I say, not as I do. Anyways, I'd like to know your thoughts. What do you think about this whole rhetoric? Leave it in the comments section. I'll be going through and checking it out later. If you enjoyed this, make sure that you're subscribed so that you don't miss future episodes. You can check out the podcast over at NathanFraserShow.com, BYOBossPodcast.com, CopyandFunnels.com. We are all over the internet. My name is Nathan Fraser. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. Thank you for spending some time with me this week. I really appreciate it. Remember, have faith in each other, not in authority. That's what the Free Market Squad is all about. I'm out of here. Deuces. Yo, did you enjoy the show? Do you want to help me create more of it? If so, then head on over to Patreon and find me at, just kidding, fuck Patreon. But on the reals, I am a greedy capitalist, I do want your money, and I do have something really cool for you if you feel like sending me some shekels. Have you heard about the Free Market Squad? It's my private community, and inside of it, you'll be able to connect with a bunch of liberty-minded entrepreneurs and marketers. You'll also get access to trainings from some of the world's greatest marketers and A-list copywriters. These are the people who taught me how to build my two successful businesses so that I could do the work I love and be my own boss. So, if you want to show me some love, I'm going to give you something of immense value in return. Join the Free Market Squad, discover the selling secrets of some of the world's most successful marketers and copywriters, and get access to our private community of freedom-focused entrepreneurs. You help me, and I help you. That's what the Free Market Squad is all about. Head on over to freemarketsquad.com and get signed up today.
This show was brought to you by the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.